And right now we are going to speak with Delegate Kathy Byron, Republican, representing the 22nd District up in Richmond. And we're going to see where we stand here the day after crossover, where, with the exception of the budget, both chambers are to have everything voted on, and they send them over to the other chamber, and then we see how it works out by the end of the session. Delegate Byron, good morning. Welcome back to the program. All right, did I not do that correctly? All right, let's try that. Okay, I think we have it there now. Delegate Kathy Byron, up in Richmond. We talked to her here the day after crossover. And Delegate Byron, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Brian and Ashley. How are you today?
Doing well. Hope you are, too. It has been an interesting session so far. And I just kind of want to get sort of the 30,000-foot picture here. Democrats have not had leadership in the House in a couple of decades. We had a huge number of bills that was filed. There's a lot of questions about the quality of the leadership, if they really knew what they're getting themselves into. What has the first half of the session been like, and what was it like getting into crossover? Were you all there until after midnight like the Senate?
No, we did our work a little bit more quickly than that, and that has a lot to do with how leadership is controlling things on the floor, including our new speaker. I would call it, though, a fast and furious session, because it's incredible. Even though we talked during election about some of these things that were going to happen, I think sitting there and actually listening to the details and the rationale, if that's what you want to call it, for some of the bills, it stunned all of us. And what stunned us the most was how in 30 days they could so drastically change Virginia. It's just been incredible. So it's going to be a lot harder for law-abiding Virginians to exercise their Second Amendment rights. It's going to be a lot more expensive to live in Virginia. We're going to have higher taxes on gasoline, electricity, and natural gas. Higher property taxes, higher taxes for county residents. It's going to be a lot more expensive to own and operate a business in Virginia. Virginia's going to have among the most extreme abortion laws in the country. They have enacted just about every far-left idea being promoted by their presidential candidates. Bernie Sanders would feel right at home in Virginia when all these laws pass.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that to a great degree, what was the idea? They want to change things very drastically in Virginia. They're going about it. I want to ask you, you mentioned the speaker, and I've seen some of the people who are covering the session of the General Assembly and some of the delegates, too, saying that she's gone out of her way a lot of times to cut off debate, ruling an awful lot of things not germane to the issue that might, you know, maybe do fall into a gray area, but normally they'd be debated. Is that really the case?
That is the case, and I think outside of two bills that they may have sent back to a committee that they probably couldn't get the votes that they needed, every single one of their bills has passed, and she has ensured that they pass. One great example was yesterday. We were voting on a plastic bag fee that is going to be coming to you, and it's 5 cents on plastic bags when you shop at the store. And these disposable plastic bags, it doesn't apply if you have any kind of liquid in them. So it doesn't apply to ice cream, meat, fish, poultry, newspapers or dry cleaning, alcoholic beverages. So whatever bags have those in it, you're not going to pay the tax on. Bags that have dry items in it, you will. Now, how the retailers are going to deal with that was not something that anybody could really answer. So that bill sat there for the longest time before she called the vote, until the board showed enough votes to pass it. And it was a incredibly long silence until we got to the mark. And then the ironic thing was, it was 50-49, and she called it as passed, thinking that it passed, but they needed to have 51 votes. So later on, they brought the bill back in front of us and got a 51 vote on that particular bill. But it was really incredible to watch several of the bills like that yesterday, where there were delays before the vote was called, and then the looks out at the members that had not voted the right way or had not voted at all.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about that, because I'd heard this being broached. I hadn't heard how it had worked out. So you've got a six-pack of beer or Coke or something, that's in one bag. You're not going to get 5 cents, but if you buy a loaf of bread or a bag of chips and put it in another bag, that one you're going to get taxed on. Do they just count the number of bags you have at the store? Are they going to go through them? How is this
going to
work?
No one can really answer those questions, how they're going to implement it or how complicated and confusing it is. I think the whole idea is they're trying to get people to use their own bags, but in the meantime, instead of just taxing them all, they are trying to come up with a convoluted way to make this work so that you don't have liquid spilling all over the place.
Okay, fair enough. We'll have to see where that goes in the rest of the assembly. I want to run through a number of issues with you here. And one, you mentioned the Second Amendment. Let's talk about the assault weapon ban. What is the definition of an assault weapon as of now, according to the House bill?
Well, they passed a ban on assault weapons with magazines with a capacity over 12. Now, I don't know a lot about guns. I'll be honest with you. I am totally 100% for people having Second Amendment rights and the ability to protect themselves. But where they came up with 12 as a number is beyond me. Two days ago, they put an amendment on making it a misdemeanor instead of a felony. Now, you're still making criminals out of law-abiding citizens, and the misdemeanor actually carries $2,500 penalty and 1 year in jail. And no one could really give the answer as to what happens if you have more than one of those guns in your home. Is that equivalent to 2 years in jail and $5,000? How are they going to implement that? But they're basically going to be passing restrictions that allow them to come and take your guns, which is what we said that they were going to do in the first place.
Well, now, my understanding is anything you have now has been grandfathered in. I mean, this is only in the Senate bill, but that and that also there will be no registration at this point.
Well, as I mentioned, I voted against all of them. We know we don't have the votes. We know they have an agenda. So until we get the bills blended between the House and the Senate, will we determine just how far they're going to go? But I think with the votes that they have out and the pressure that they have on them to do this, I think you can be sure that these bills are going to be passed and signed by the governor.
Let's talk about labor issues here. And an awful lot was made repealing Virginia's right to work law, essentially saying you can't be forced to join a union in a job. Big part of why Virginia is generally very high rated as far as business goes. There was a full rollback proposal. We've seen over in the Senate there was a fair share. Did anything rolling back right to work make it out of the House on crossover?
Well, collective bargaining did, and there's a lot of underlying bills that actually are very favorable to the unions. But the outright repeal, which I think Delegate Rasul was the one that carried that one, stayed up in appropriations, which we're surprised to see. That one and another big one that had a very big price tag, but they claimed was an election ballot box issue, was the family medical leave. And that never made it out of the House committee that controls the money. So those two stayed up there, but they did enough other things that are going to raise the prices on the cost to do business between the utilities, the minimum wage, the workers' comp issues. I mean, basically, workers' comp, there was a bill that, you know, working for FedEx, if you lifted a box, you know, later on in life, you're going to be able to claim workers' comp because your back hurts. I mean, they just made it so broad that just about anyone can go back and, you know, blame the business for whatever health issue that they're dealing with.
Speaking with Delegate Kathy Byron here on The Morning Show. And how about the minimum wage? Do I have this correct that once we hit the summer, minimum wage will jump immediately to $10 and then go up incrementally after that?
Yes, the speed at which they're doing this is incredible. And they stood up on the floor and just let out frustration over so many years of trying to do this and how this was going to solve all their problems. And the thing, and they keep calling it a living wage, and we all know it was never meant to be a living wage. But the area that it hurts the most is, Southwest Virginia. Some of the areas that, you know, can't afford, some of the delegates said that they've had people that came up to them over the weekend that said, you're going to put us out of business. The the thing that is not being expressed is the bottom line of businesses. You know, when you talk about businesses that are going to not be able to hire as many people or cut back the hours, that's not going to benefit the people that they're talking about. So it is, it's going to be, have a dramatic effect on business.
Well, what about the other side of it here, that if you increase the minimum wage for people, these are people who are not saving money, they are spending money, they've got more to spend, it gets out into the economy, and you have that sort of, you know, beneficial sort of side effect of the minimum wage being raised.
Well, we know that businesses have a profit margin, and if they can't, if businesses can't make money, those jobs are going to go away. And we've made it very attractive for people to go to North Carolina now. You know, we can call most of these anti-business policies the North Carolina Full Employment Act, because that's where the businesses are going to go to. There's no reason for them to stay here if they can have friendlier business policies right next door. You know, we've made it much more like California and New Jersey and New York in Virginia. So those same policies didn't work there. The businesses left, and the same thing is going to happen in Virginia. I just hope that we have enough businesses that will fight with us to make some changes in the next election that we have coming up. You know, another thing we did that we didn't talk about, Brian, is they dramatically changed the integrity of Virginia's elections. They repealed the photo ID requirement. They approved driver's license for illegal immigrants. They also approved automatic voter enrollment at DMV. So if you are at DMV, they unless you opt out, they automatically enroll you into your voter registration. They approved the same-day election voting and register on the same day without sufficient time to verify whether or not they're entitled to vote. They're going to reward illegal immigrants. So we approved driver's license for illegals. We approved in-state tuition rates, which are taxpayer-subsidized for illegal immigrants. They made it easier for jurisdictions to become illegal immigrant sanctuaries. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on and on.
Let's talk about something else here. Certainly, Virginia has been at the center of the debate over monuments to the Confederacy, and the bill has passed out of both the House and Senate, I believe, to give localities control over whether they want to keep them, alter them, add context to them, whatever it might be. And the greatest locally devolved control might not be the best for every issue out there, but localities ought to make their own decisions on Confederate monuments, shouldn't they?
Well, you know, that debate on the floor was rather interesting to listen to, and there is question about that I really didn't get into all the debate on. They talked about Lee Jackson and removing that from the Capitol, and I know that one of the proponents of that bill talked up and just talked about the history, if we would just put down there that the history of the other rational side of why they don't want it there and how Lee Jackson, you know, went after, you know, the other party years ago, and I don't know that they really want to just remove it as they want to continue to tell the story and make sure people understand what the history really is all about. But we had some good discussion on that, and That's about all that I can tell you about that. I was not with them on any of those votes, and we'll see what happens when it goes over to the Senate.
All right. Well, let's briefly finish up with what is not the most generally the sexiest sort of issue there. But this is a budget year. You all have until next Thursday to finish up your side and send it over to the Senate. It looked like the House was pretty far behind on the budget. Where do you all stand there? Are you going to be finished next Thursday?
Well, I'm not on the budget committee, but we're anxiously awaiting and trying to read over the governor's budget, because I believe that the most concerning part will be what the governor sent. Normally, when the Republicans were in charge, we basically just took the governor's budget and set it aside and rewrote our own. And so in this case, I don't know that the Democrats are going to do the same thing. So we really need to look at what the governor has put out and see what's in there. The the issue is that there were so many bills that were sent up to that committee that are going to carry additional costs. There were new commissions that created. Government was expanded dramatically. There were high costs to all the bills that came out, and until they can blend those in, it will be hard for us to know where they're going to find the money to fund all these things. We already know that they raised tremendous amounts of taxes, and I guess the budget will show us what the impact of that will be and how much it's going to end up costing the taxpayers, because that's what the budget is all about. The budget is how much money you're paying for the services for government.
All right, Delegate Kathy Byron, thanks for joining us this morning. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, thank you. You have a wonderful day.